I don't think I heard it till I was 22 years old. I come from the great state of Idaho, which is a great state, but they're, to be perfectly
frank,
not a big
Habanagila hotspot.
Not a big Habanagila hotspot.
Not a lot of Hava happenings.
No. Do you remember the first time you heard Habanagila?
I assume it was in utero.
Habanagila, the movie, is directed by Roberta Grossman. She joins us from our studio at NPR West. Roberta, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
So at what point did a light switch go off and you thought, oh, this is more than a song. This is binding people together in a special way.
I think that I knew that, you know, all through my life just by attending these great moments of celebration. But it wasn't until I was finishing my last film, my daughter, who was 10 at the time, said, Mommy, please make a happy film next time. Mm. And I took a breath and I said, honey, you know, documentary filmmakers are really not happy people. And she's currently in therapy. And the but I thought it was a really brilliant idea. And coincidentally, I just a couple weeks earlier just had really, no kidding, had sort of like a dialogue bubble come up over my head. And I thought, what is Habanagila? And the questions that are at the beginning of the film were my questions. You know, is it 100 years old or 1,000 years old? Did somebody sit down to write it? Did it come down from Sinai? And I didn't even know what the words meant. Hmm. And so began our Hava quest.
So on this quest, you go back to the beginning. Can you take us there?
Sure.
Where was the birthplace of this song?
Well, we know that Habanagila began as a Hasidic nigun, which is a wordless prayer, a wordless melody that was used by the Hasidic movement in Eastern Europe in Satagora, Ukraine. The reason that we know that is that some Satagora Hasidim left that area in 1905. Probably they were tired of pogroms and poverty, and they went to Palestine. And there their song was picked up by the father of Jewish ethnomusicology, Abraham Zvi Edelson, and he recorded it. He put words to the song.
There's also a political significance to Habanagila at a very significant point in Jewish history.
You know, you think about the idea of folk music as being something that the roots go so far back you can't trace them. And in a way, Habanagila does have that because it comes from Eastern Europe and that very long tradition. But Habanagila was part of, and really a tentpole of, the conscious creation of a Hebrew culture in Palestine before statehood. So there were people who were, of course, revitalizing Hebrew as a modern spoken language, and then there were people who were using that modern spoken language to create poetry. Edelson, he had in his mind that if you could create a repertoire of song, of folk song, drawing on the roots of Jewish music from all over the world, in this case from Eastern Europe, and added Hebrew lyrics to it, then you could create a repertoire, a folk repertoire for the new nation, and then that would help build the nation. So it did have a political aspect to it.
So you trace the migration of the Habanagila all the way to the United States, where it kind of takes on another life. It evolves, and all of a sudden, everyone's doing a version of the Habanagila.
Right.
Lena Horne is doing Habanagila. Connie Francis, all kinds of stars.
Right.
But you argue that it's Harry Belafonte who becomes what you call the ambassador of the Habanagila.
Mm-hmm.
And in the movie, he talks about performing the song in Germany. Let's take a listen to this clip.
It hit me kind of hard that here I was, an African-American, an American, standing in Germany, a place where just a decade earlier had been responsible for one of the greatest mass murders the world had ever known. Here were these young German kids singing this song, this Hebrew song of rejoicing. Let us have peace. Let us rejoice.
Is it funny to you that Glenn Campbell has done the Habanagila?
Everything's funny about Habanagila.
This is Habanagila. That was on the back of True Grit, I'll be dead gone. That was one of those things that, it was a song that would run through my head. Because everybody and his dog knows it. When I was doing bar mitzvahs and stuff like that, when I first got out to L.A., And I learned that one real quick because, like, you know, you could get some more weddings that way.
There's another really interesting performance of the song in the movie. This one's by Bob Dylan.
Here's a foreign song I learned in Utah. Ha. Va. Hava. Na. Havana. Havana Gee.
Bob Dylan butchers it. Just butchers it. I mean, it's a performance of Havana Gila that it is meant to not perform Havana Gila, which ultimately is a performance of Havana Gila, which is why I kind of like it. That, to me, is the Jewish song. Nothing is more Jewish than that performance, precisely because it is both an embrace and a refusal. It's the smartest song about Jewish identity I've ever heard.
That's Josh Kuhn, who's a musicologist and professor at USC. And I'd have to say that that clip that you played raises the question, is who's more brilliant, Josh Kuhn or Bob Dylan?
There's a good amount of bar mitzvah home movie footage in this film. Where does that come from? Is any of that from your own personal collection?
It's from my psyche, but not from my collection. We found that film at the National Center for Jewish Film, which is out of Brandeis, and that was Sidney Borstein's Bar Mitzvah. Sidney, if you're out there, please call in. The number is, I would love to speak with Sidney. And I love that family so much, and this is why it's the perfect archival footage. The family is completely filled with joy and happiness. They obviously love each other. They are completely unaware of the camera. So it's wonderful. It's a priceless piece of archival stock footage.
You said you have a daughter?
I do. I have two daughters.
And are they beyond the age of 13? Did they have their bat mitzvah?
My daughter recently had her bat mitzvah. And
did you dance the Havana Gila at her bat mitzvah?
I was going to anticipate that. yes, 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 and yes. And it was quite wonderful. Rabbi Lawrence Kushner, who's in the film, told me that if he could speak to a boy or girl who just had their bar and bat mitzvah, had been lifted up in the chair to Havana Gila, he'd say, you know, I want you to take that Havana Gila moment and put it in your pocket. And whenever you need it throughout the course of your life, I want you to take it out. And remember that moment where your parents and your grandparents and your family and friends were all around you, loving you, looking up at you and saying, yes, you can do it. And take that Havana Gila moment with you for the rest of your life.
Roberta Grossman is the director of the new film Havana Gila. She joined us from our studio at NPR West. Roberta, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks very much.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin.